The last presentation before the panel discussion is with Dr. Damstig, Gerald Damstig, church history professor at the seminary, Riddle of Walden Disease and Their Sabbath Keeping.
It's interesting. It fits and it fits not, but you will see how it fits in this whole series on the covenant. The background of my interest in the Walden Disease goes back probably 15 years ago when I started Great Controversy Tours to Europe. Every summer, I have the privilege to visit the Waldenses, and you have a nice museum there, and it's called your museum. The whole story, the Waldenses started with Peter Waldo, and of course with a group of 50 Adventists. I was allowed once upon a time to conduct the tour myself, but they have changed the policy, and now I may be simply a spectator. And you hear the story about the Waldenses, and of course there are always Adventists that says, what happened to the Sabbath with you? Of course that is the politically incorrect question to ask. And it is always a response, no, we have never kept the Sabbath. We've never. Now some of the tour guides in the museum are quite polite, and they said, we don't know. But generally not, and then sometimes the word Sabbati is being, were you not mentioned by the name Sabbati? And an affirmed denial is presented, we have nothing to do with the Sabbath. And so that has sparked my curiosity. Besides this, not only this, but in the 1980s, some Adventist historians have published material denying, actually, that the Waldenses have kept the Sabbath. There's no evidence. And I have the privilege of teaching the class development of Sabbath or Sunday. And I have always been reluctant to share that information because there has been a strong tradition among Adventists that they kept the Sabbath. And they refer to historians in the Reformation time. But you have to keep in mind that very little of primary sources is, or hardly anything, for the Middle Ages, because the policy of the Catholics was burn, burn, burn. Heretics and their writings should be burned. And the Crusades and so on. So there is very little except what we have from the voice of the inquisitors. I had my reservations, and until a couple of years ago there was again something that among us was spread that really we need to update the Great Controversy. It needs to be revised, and again this Sabbath keeping thing came up. And so I was just assigned a new PhD graduate student, Jean, where are you? Okay, here. And so Jean Zukowski from Brazil, and we got this burden. And over the years, now actually, that individual previously had only done a research of a couple of hours and declared that the statement in Great Controversy was incorrect. Now, we continue to work on this for years. Not just a few hours. You don't discover truth in the very bottom until you really spend a lot of time on it. And we prayed about it all the time, and the Lord really helped us. And so this is what we really found out, when we go back Italy in the Dark Ages. This is the, I don't call it the Middle Ages purposely, but the Dark Ages. If you understand what I mean. When Rome ruled the world. And then in the northern part of Italy, especially, those are the only places where the Waldenses are left, because before that, in the Middle Ages, they were in the Alpine regions in Spain, in Italy and France. Now they are confined because of the eradication of the Albigenses and all kind of things. The only relics you have there are there. They are still considerable amount. They are cultural. So So they may not have the spirit, but they are still cultured and they are very proud of their heritage. Now let's look here by Turin or Torino in the eastern part of Italy. And what do we see there? The Waldensian valleys. Okay, let me just go back here. Here you see then La Tour, because that part belonged to France for a long time, and they spoke fluently French all the time until Mussolini came up, and this was this kind of ethnic cleansing, and every Waldensians had to change their names, the towns were changed, and their heritage was Mussolini tried to eradicate the heritage completely. So let us now go here to the Prato del Torno in the Angronia River, and there we see where we generally have our Sabbath worship. Beautiful there. And so in our research then, we found out that there are three theories about the Waldenses. And the question is now, did the Waldenses ever keep the Sabbath? The current views among historians, and the one that is Robinson in the 18th century, formulated this, and Catholic historians really say they did not. The Protestant and Waldensian historians, the Waldensians themselves, the self-image says, we did not. And today, the current, if you want to be up to date with the Adventist historians, they did not. And here we have one of the lonely representatives. There were Waldensians who kept the true Sabbath. And among us, we have always had a tradition that believed in the statement. And felt that even if they did not have all the evidence, they believed in it. And so we felt that we should now really explore this. And Ellen White predicts that in the very last days, among the Waldenses, the Waldenses will lose their faith in their leaders, and many will accept the three angels' messages. Now, what do you say, friends? This is good news. And so I have been praying and whatever. And last year, I worked through our Waldensian leaders. Church leaders in the Waldensian valleys, to present a paper to them. But they felt that now the relationship is so beautiful between the Waldensians and the Adventists that they don't want to rock the boat. So I couldn't do it, but now I have written a nice paper. And I have developed great friendships with some of the Waldensians themselves. And now, this coming summer, if you want to come with me, there's still some place, I'm going to share this information with some of my Waldensian friends, and to relate this to their leaders and see if we can get them some dialogue together. And maybe this will help to open their eyes. So this is also not only a scholarly research, but a missionary project. Now, on what were those views based? The interpretation of the names given to the Waldensians by the opponents. The Waldensian names in the Latin literature of the Middle Ages. And we searched this, and unfortunately there is not a lot of material. Very few, here and there, whatever. And here, in Sabbatati, in Sabbatatis, Sabbatati, in Sabbatensi, Sabbatati, Sabbatatos, in Sabbatati, in Sabbatorum, in Sabbatatos. Now all those go back to the two basic forms, in Sabbatati and Sabbatati, and what you see there are different declensions in the nominative and the ablative, and the genitive and the accusative and whatever, but they all go back to those two words. Now, what are those two words? And we have explored and explored and explored, and we found here an 18th century summary that is really one of the best ones. The first one held that the Waldenses observed Saturday for the Lord's Day. So that is what we are teaching. But that is really a minority view, a tiny minority. Secondly, stated that this in Sabbati they rejected all the festivals of Sabbath which the Catholic Church religiously observed. So it is against all the Catholic institutions. But the third view asserted that the Waldenses were called so from Sabot, or Zabot, the shoe, because they distinguished themselves from the other people by wearing shoes marked on the upper part with some peculiarity. And this now is the scholarly view among the Waldenses, those Protestants and Adventists. That is the majority. The other ones, really, you don't find them anymore in the literature. So now, here you have then one of the sources in the 13th century, Bernard Guy, and he was a very prominent individual. He was the Inquisitor of Toulouse province and the papal representative in the Italian provinces of Lombardy and Etruria, that is the northern part of Italy. And so he had a wide exposure in the questioning of this. And he was the first person to actually detail the shoes of the Waldenses, because he was attracted to it. And he said they are called insabbatati, because in the beginning the perfect Waldenses had a special mark in the form of a shield on their shoes to distinguish themselves from believers and their accomplishments. You had three layers, the ministers, the leaders, then the believers, and then the accomplishes, those that sympathized. But the top ones were the ones that wore those shoes, could have the Lord's Supper, preached, and whatever. So it's a tiny group there. And that is in the manual of the Ligne Inquisiteur. Now, shoes, you know, in the 16th century, now this idea was, here's an individual, Gretzer, and most of our views today go to Gretzer, a Roman Catholic. He defended, the thing is, he wrote against the Protestants, because the Protestants saw in the Waldenses a group of people that went back to the apostolic times. And there were Calvinists that wrote that the Waldenses kept the Sabbath. Go all the way there. And he didn't like it, and he wrote against the Protestants, destroying the apostolic connection. And so what did he say? He wrote, in Sabbatatis, is related to the way the persecutors were able to identify them by a certain sign in the upper part of their shoes, which were called Sabbatum, to differentiate them from others. And then Gretzer did, however, not make any distinction between Sabbatati and Insabbatati. It's very interesting that many of the historians don't do so much exegesis, what does this word mean, but they lump them all together and said, you know, it's the same. And yet, you know, morphologically, Insabbatati should mean the opposite of Sabbatati. I mean, you find this in the dictionaries, especially etymological dictionaries. And so then, these Catholic views were adopted by Protestant and Waldensian historians. And then lately, since the 80s, by Adventist historians. Now, here you find Peter Alex, a British historian, and Amadeo Molnar. He wrote the most extensive history of the Waldenses, that is the standard work, the scholarly work for the Waldenses, still being available, still being sold, and there is nothing better than that book. And that is what he said. Now, the second view, it's very interesting, is that the name Insabbatati means they reject the Roman Catholic festivals. And so what do the primary sources reveal? So we go back to the primary sources, and they show now the relevance of the prefix in the word Insabbatati. So they don't deal with the word Sabbatati, but the denial, the negation, Insabbatati. And when you read this, you find something very interesting, that the Catholics accused the Waldenses of rejecting the Roman Catholic festivals. Here is one, Bernard de Guy, again the Inquisitor and Papal Legate. He says the Waldenses are characterized by, quote, non-observance of feasts, not keeping Sunday, the feast of the Virgin Mary, and of other gathering related to the apostles and evangelists. Very interesting, you know, so it is the anti-Catholic stance. And of course the Waldenses were foremost in rejecting anything to do with Catholicism that is not based on the Bible. And so this is interesting. They even say here, not keeping Sunday. In this case, again, Reformation historians held similar views. Picked it up from the Catholics, the English historian Peter Alex, he writes, the Waldensian Albigenses rejected and condemned all the ceremonies, traditions and ordinances of the Church of Rome, which they declared to be a den of thieves and heard it is spoken of the Revelation. So you can see they are historicists. They're in our, you know, we are the continuation of this view, which is certainly not politically correct. Waldenses reject the Roman Catholic festival. Here is what the Waldenses themselves now say about themselves. 7th century, Jean Popin. In 1618, he wrote, the Waldenses reject the Romish festivals and observe no other day than Sunday. Wednesday were named in Sabbatatis, who did not regard the Sabbath. And Sabbath is then the Roman Catholic days. That is not easy. Now, it's interesting here is that this group that he talks about at that particular time in the 17th century kept Sunday. Then another one, Antoine Monastier. The Waldenses were called in Sabbatatis because they celebrate no Sabbath or feast days, do not continue their work on the days consecrated among the Catholics to Christ, the Blessed Virgin and the Saint. Again here, when they say they celebrate no Sabbath, it is the Sabbath that the Catholics have instituted. So don't confuse this with, you know, they didn't keep the Sunday. No, all the other holy days were called Sabbath by the Catholics. And you find it in the Latin dictionaries. And so now, the third option now is, let us see here, in regard to the Waldenses and the Sabbath. What evidence is there? And what do the primary sources reveal? Now here you will be absolutely surprised. Because finally, we have some excellent material. It shows now the relevance of Sabbatati, explaining the distinction within Sabbatati. Remember, the previous one, in Sabbatati, were against all the Catholic days. The Sabbatati now justify the negation of the participle in. And what does it here mean? Father Monato of Sermona, Northern Italy. That was the area where it was mostly dense with Waldenses, you see. And so he, in 1244, he defended the Roman Catholic Church against a charge by the Waldenses that the Roman Catholics broke the Sabbath of the Decalogue. Now that's interesting. A whole epistle in which it is he rejects and he attacks not only the Waldenses but the Albigenses. He both sees themselves on this point united. Now what does he say? He replied that just as the Jews should observe the Sabbath, we as Christians should observe the Lord's Day. This day that we observe is a church ordinance, and it is out of honor to Christ that this day was established. And then he mentioned the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting for us that this, again, says it is a church ordinance. You know? Now he continues. If, in fact, to the Jews was proclaimed to keep the Sabbath as a memorial of the benefits of material freedom, freedom from slavery, in honor of freedom, why is it not lawful to the Church to constitute other days as festival in order to Christ? And as a memorial of the spirit of freedom from Satan's bondage, conquered by Christ. See again? Now this is only fitting a context if you keep the Sabbath. You see this? It's very, very clear. In fact, he continues his rebuttal. He concluded his defense by stating against these heretics, namely the Cathari and the Waldenses, it is that we find what is written in Galatians 4:10. You observe days and months and times and years. And if it adds in verse 11, I'm afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you. Indeed, the result is that you labor in vain. Therefore, it is sin to observe days. Very strong argument. And finally, he concluded, likewise Colossians 2:16. There we have it again. You know, they should have decreed, you know, among them. Likewise, Colossians 2:16 declare, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day, new moon or Sabbath days. Days related to Jewish festivals are not observed. On the contrary, the days instituted by the church, and that's it. Finished. Final argument. And so I can praise the Lord that, here in this book, Venerabilis, we find one of the strongest evidences. And this is not the only one, because Dr. Suchere in Europe, he has also some references, not from this time, but during the Reformation time, how they were persecuted and whatever. We have some evidences in the 14th century. But this is a marvelous testimony of Sabbath keeping on a wide scale. But you will see that over the centuries, you see a change in the Waldenses. But this issue was not kept to rest, even in the Reformation, because not too far from Torre Pellice, when you go to the Angronia Valley, you see there a monument, and that is the Champforant monument. And that is a monument to commemorate the uniting of the Waldenses with the Reformation in 1532. That was commemorated. There's a kind of a pillar there. And if you read the agreements between the Reformation and the Waldenses, one of the stipulations and the conclusion that they came from is that we will keep the Lord's Day Sunday. Now, if this stipulation, if there was no point of discussion at all, they wouldn't have even referred to this. You see, so even in that literature, you see that there were people there that had questions about it. But when you now come to the 18th century or whatever, Sabbath keeping seemed to be completely gone. And so that is then what they respond to us. And I think we have maybe 1 or 2 minutes for a question.
What is the difference between Sabbatati and Sabbatati?
In Sabbatati, that is the negation of the particle, just the opposite. So for example, as I have tried now to explain here, is Sabbatati, the root for both words is Sabbat, It comes, but it was then related either to shoes or to the holy days. But in this discussion, it is most clearly revealed that in Sabbatati, it is against the Catholic imposition of all the days, because the Catholics had dozens and dozens of holy days during the year. And so they are rejecting against it, against the Sabbath of the Catholic Church, in Sabbatati. The Sabbatati are those who keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And so therefore, you see then the difference. The one argument, and I fully agree with it, the in Sabbatati is blanket against the Catholics. The Sabbatati is only this, because the conclusion of this research now is, it confirms the correctness of Ellen G. White's comments on Sabbath practice of some of the Waldenses. In the 13th century controversy between Roman Catholics and the Waldenses, Northern Italy confirms that she was right in stating there were Waldenses who kept the true Sabbath. So she doesn't say, hey, there were, all the Waldenses kept the Sabbath. No. Among the Waldenses, there were some who kept the true Sabbath. And as such, we don't need to revise the great controversy. Because really, when people discover all those so-called mistakes, the next question is, hey, if that is our those mistakes, maybe we have to revise our view of inspiration and revelation in regard to Elohim. That's all the time so. And in my historical research, I've seen many times all kind of historical incidents being mentioned that we need to revise our view. And yet, give me enough time, sometimes it takes years, we find the other fallacy, and that is not here, but the bell in Paris, you remember the story. It took me 6-7 years finally, but I found out the secret about the bell. And that is not what contemporaries. In fact, they asked the tour guides about it. Oh yes, he said, this is what we have to tell you. But you are an historian, you will know the truth about it. And I didn't know anything about it. So I went there to the archives, of the Protestant Church, and I discovered that the present meaning of the bells is in harmony what Ellen White said in the 1884 Great Controversy, the Bell of the Palace. So all those interesting things. Anyway, another question. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, the thing is...
The one thing that was mentioned, of course, is that it's a shield.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just wondering if it could be somehow connected with their faith in the Sabbath. I don't know about shield.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, no.
And could that have been a visual representation of their faith in the Sabbath?
Yeah. You know, I wrote a whole paper on that, on the shoes. There's a whole paper by itself. And I presented them at the ETS. And but let me quickly say here... That in regard to the shoes, yes, there, you know, there may be groups, you know, because you know we frequently say all the Waldenses. No, you see, they are spread over a wide area of the Alpine regions, and there may definitely be some Waldenses at certain time before the persecution, you know, who wore a unique kind of shoes. However, you have to keep in mind when the persecution becomes. In fact. Especially after the Lateran Council of 1215, where the Waldenses are the outlaws, and they are subject to total extermination. You know, wearing shoes make you a lame duck. And we know even from their own writings that they were secretly mingling among the people. Now, how can you do it with shoes? You see, so I think that the practice of shoes, if it has, you know, was that they simply eliminated it because of the recognition.
We had a question from Roy and then one from Yershi, and that'll do for this session. If we have more questions, we can do that during the panel.
Did Ellen White have any written sources that she drew on regarding Sabbath among the Waldenses, or was this revealed to her in the vision?
You know, that's a good question. I know that there are certain other Protestant historians, a few, and there were even Calvinists that wrote in the time of the Reformation, but I don't know if in her library those volumes were present. There are, it's a minority, but there are Protestant scholars in the Reformation that affirmed this, the Sabbath keeping. And so she could have had it from those sources. Very good.
It was very insignificant.
Sure.
As for the last number.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, you know, because that is very interesting. You know, I wish that he had made this remark in his book.
Yeah.
But there are some small groups, you know, but...
This is what I can testify before.
Yeah, thank you. We have a living witness now to the truth from Waldenses. And... you know, if in some way you would do us a tremendous pleasure. Is he still alive? Too late. Otherwise, you could have a written statement, you know, affidavit and whatever, notarized. Thank you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.